Today we're this morning we're looking at God the Holy Spirit, and whenever we think of the third person of the Trinity, we have a number of names that go along or are familiar to us in the scriptures about who the third person of the Trinity is. Now, whenever we hear these or see them, we sometimes how many names can you have? Well, if you think about, okay, say myself, I'm a father, but I'm also a son, I'm a husband, I'm a pastor, I'm a chaplain, I'm a counselor. So you have all those things that are part of who you are and part of what you do. They kind of identify me in different roles and different categories. Well, the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we just know as the Spirit, but Holy designates his character. The character of God, the character of the Spirit is Holy. Now, we have Spirit, breath, wind. We have Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Son, of the Son, Spirit of Jesus Christ, eternal Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life, Spirit of promise, Spirit of glory, and Comforter. Now, Comforter, and whenever we see all of these things, all these names, Comforter is the word that when Jesus is leaving, Jesus is ascending. He's ascending. He says another Comforter is coming. And the word Comforter means one just like myself. So the coming of the Holy Spirit is that we don't lose anything. When Jesus ascends to heaven, he's telling his disciples that another Comforter is coming, one just like myself, that you're not losing anything by me not being here. And so when Jesus ascends, then the Holy Spirit comes, and the idea is that when Jesus, the Son, is here, he is limited, as it were, to one place in his physical body. He did that. He gave up his divinity. So if Jesus would have stayed, as it were, a human resurrected person, he would be, in one place, But the Holy Spirit is in everywhere at the same time. And so Jesus is everywhere at the same time, but the physical limitations that he placed upon himself whenever he became God became flesh and dwelt among us, those physical limitations he maintained even after the resurrection, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal body. So the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of us. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth, that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand the text and the scriptures. And his Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons, that we are children of God. So we have the identification of the Holy Spirit being in our lives whenever we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Spirit of God lives within us. Christ lives within our heart. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, the King James, sharper than any two-edged sword. Another version says the Word of God, Spirit of God, the Word of God is alive and active. So when the Holy Spirit is in us, that he is in us, around us, above us, beneath us, that he is alive and active, interacting with our lives. And he is teaching us, as it were, the word of truth, which is the scriptures. So whenever we're thinking of that you're never alone, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, all these things are portraying to us the Spirit of God, and that it's the same Spirit was there in creation and before creation. It's the same Holy Spirit. So third person of the Trinity. So that's just a few names or things in our lesson that are pointed out about the Holy Spirit. Any questions about just this part? I sometimes don't stop long enough to ask a question. Any questions? All right. So whenever we come to our first verse that we are looking at today in John chapter 16, verses 7 and I believe it's just 7, that nevertheless I tell you the truth. And when this is when Jesus is going to ascend up into heaven, he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not, if I go not away, that's in backwards English, King James, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus is trying to persuade the disciples that it's better for him to leave, you know. Jesus is trying to persuade the disciples it's better for him to go, and that if he goes, then if he doesn't go, you're not going to receive the Spirit, so you don't know what you're missing. Now, where Jesus was limited to being with them, the Holy Spirit would not be limited. And whenever the Spirit of truth, like if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting and talking to us, we would not listen to Jesus. Because it's that same voice, it's that same Spirit that that speaks to our hearts and speaks to our lives. Now, the Spirit of God, we've got to, understand, number one, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He is the perfect gentleman because he is the person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He will not make you do something you don't want to do. You know, people blame the devil. Well, the devil made me do it. You know, you were tempted and you gave in. Well, the Holy Spirit will lead us and he will teach us the truth of his word. Now, if the truth of what God is teaching us doesn't fit in with his word, such as, you know, God does not manipulate us, God leads us. God doesn't give us guilt. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his namesake. The reason that God leads us is that his namesake is that he is our God and he is worthy of the name God and shepherd and savior and truth and lover of our soul, and he will lead us into what is best for our life. And even if that best goes through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of shadow of change, valley of the shadow of transition, that doesn't get it, you know, God is leading us through there. Doesn't say we're going to live there. You know, we're going to pitch our tent and live in the valley of despair. No, it doesn't say that. So if we're living in the valley of despair, God doesn't want you there. We're passing through. Amen. Thank you. All right. Remember that. So the need to know his departure meant triumph. The departure of Jesus ascending to heaven was the triumph, not a tragedy. So the death of Christ was not a tragedy. It was a triumph. It was a triumph over sin and paying the penalty for sin. And Jesus, through his death, he paid the price for our sins so that our sins could be forgiven, so that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, could come and abide within our hearts and lives. So this little paragraph says, what does the constant presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit mean to us? Okay. What does the constant presence of God mean to us? That 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, moment by moment, he has never left us. Okay? Okay. You mean he was there whenever I... Yeah. Okay. But he's there also to bless and to lead, and he isn't there to manipulate. He's there to guide us and lead us and teach us and help us to become. Do you find comfort that he is there, that he guides us? God's Spirit warns his followers of unforeseen dangers. I was thinking when my mom sometimes what did I say? She, you know, being out in the country, she wasn't used to being in town, you know. And, you know, she's looking the wrong way. And she was going to step out on the street. And she wasn't even looking. I mean, the car is coming this way, and she's not even looking. And she's wanting to go, but she can't step out. And then the car goes by. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, I always think of I think it was up in Maine. We were driving down the road, and there's this car coming down the hill. And I was going there, and I said, well, you know, that car better stop, or it's going to run into me. So I went, it slowed down and stopped, and then I went by, and I looked, and there was no driver in it. Then it continued to cross and ran into a building. Okay, you know. So the Holy Spirit warns us of danger. The Holy Spirit empowers us, you know, keeps us in times of distress or trial, you know. Cliff, you know, I was wrapped up in a power takeoff shaft. You know, you don't get out of that. But I pulled out of a power takeoff shaft with 3 sweatshirts and a t-shirt on and ripped them all off at the sleeve. Now, I was strong, but I was not that strong. So should have been dead, you know. That was a quick one. I could have been all over. That'd have been hard to die that way. Just getting wrapped up in a power takeoff shaft and getting clobbered over and over again as it spins around. That's not a good death. So he warns you of unforeseen dangers, reassures us when we are on the right path. You know, we always, and again, there's so many different ways. Glenda. There's so many different ways that people have ideas as to what you should do. But all of us have paths that we have to go. And the bottom line is the Holy Spirit helps us to determine what is right for where we're at, no matter what goes on. And I was always trying to say that for whenever we take care of people and whenever we have all these other things going on. The Holy Spirit is going to direct us, and he will help us. And no matter what anybody else says, they're all out there, but it's still God and you. Oh, yeah, go ahead. You want to run? Go ahead. You know, I want to do this. You sure? Yeah. Okay. So, but God helps us even our mistakes and our failures. And God does not get, the Holy Spirit is full of love, grace, and mercy. I mean, he is love, grace, and mercy. We blow it. He doesn't say, okay, throw his hands up. I'm finished with you. Go do your own thing. No, he's still there to love us. And I like what the one guy said, that you ever on those GPS systems, that when you get off course, you know, it always goes recalculating. Well, God's always recalculating sometimes whenever we get off course, because he always wants to bring us back to course. He wants us to bring us back to where we need to be. And so it isn't that our mistake is final. It just means that, you know, if we find out later on it was a mistake, he's going to recalculate and get us back. He's not going to let us, you know, drive off a cliff somewhere. No pun intended. all right. So the next verse is the Holy Spirit of Truth, verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, the Holy Spirit's work is to convict the world of sin. Yeah, the world, the people that are not serving God. The Holy Spirit is working on their life. You know, when people sometimes are the most rebellious and hateful towards God, it's because God's convicting them of their sin, and he wants them to change, and they're fighting the whole thing. They're fighting the whole time. So we don't need to pass judgment. Well, those people are certainly going to go where the opposite of heaven. And but you see, he's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So God is letting them know there's a judgment coming, and they're saying, I don't believe in judgment. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this. Why is it they're so vehement against not believing? Because inside of them, there's this spirit wanting to believe. You know, if sometimes the people who are the most difficult, you know, they're the ones who are saying, I don't want that. They're the ones who want it the most, you know. You know, if you didn't want it, then, well, it doesn't make any difference. So, but people who are always against something is generally they're for it, and they just don't want to have it. So, anyhow. But anyhow, the Holy Spirit then, when he comes, he will reprove the world. So, not only is the Holy Spirit working in the life of believers, the Holy Spirit is working in our entire world. You know, refugees that are fleeing, you know, from Iran and was it Iraq and whatever those countries are over there. They are fleeing from there, and whenever we think about God is redeeming the time, well, here are these people fleeing for their lives, and what are they? They're encountering Christians who are there to serve them. And the number of believers that are now being converted to Christianity from the Muslim nation continues to just, you know, catapult. It's going in numbers never believed before would happen, because these people are displaced and, you know, their religion is killing them. And, you know, somebody extremist in their religion is trying to kill them. And here's Christianity, here's serving and taking care of. And so even when the devil tries to do wrong, devil tries to kill Christ, you know, crucify Jesus, you know, he's just fulfilling the plan of God. So same thing happens here. Yes. It's the Holy Spirit giving them, allowing them, Jesus is there. It's one and the same. Yeah, you know, it's like Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we've seen this, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit would be the third person, and we would see the works of the Spirit. Just like when you step outside and feel the wind, you can't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. You see the messes your hair up. I saw that, Glenn. Yeah. I got all four of them in place. The wind blowed my hair. Well, we feel the effects of wind, but we don't see it. We feel it. That's the same way with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our lives, and he is at work in us, and we feel the effects of forgiveness, of love, of grace, of mercy. We feel the effects of it, and we see it, and we see him working. So he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of what is the right thing to be doing, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. So the Holy Spirit is convicting them about their unbelief in Christ, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Meaning that the devil is already, the sentence for the devil and all the fallen angels has already been done. It's over. He's been sentenced. His day of serving out his sentence hasn't arrived yet. But his sentence is over. He is a defeated foe. The Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Holy Spirit inside of us is greater than any evil force in the universe, even the devil himself. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was there when he created Lucifer. So Lucifer is a created being. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is an eternal, never, no ending, no beginning, no end. And Satan desired worship, and he got kicked out of heaven because it was he rebelled against God, and he's just trying to mess up God's work. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us resist the devil, and he will flee from you, that he will give us a sense of direction, a sense of purpose. So the work of the Holy Spirit then is to abide within us. It is living and active. He is living and active. And that he is to help us in our thoughts and our actions and our motives and our deeds. He is there to do all of that. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And it says, for he shall not speak of himself. So the working of the Holy Spirit is to help us understand Christ and his teachings. That Christ is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, so the Holy Spirit is to help us understand the Word and the application of that Word to our lives, that the application of the power of God to live our life in a way that is pleasing to God. Okay? And God is not, in our message today, have these two sections of this one scripture, of this chapter, and, you know, there's blessings and cursings, and God isn't about cursing, God is about blessing us. And, in case I forget to bring it up, the blessing of God, all right, there are, this is somebody else's idea, the blessing of God, there are people waiting in line to receive from God blessings, but he is going to let them flow through you. So if you, I, don't receive them, they will not get them. So to say in a false humility, I'm not worthy, give it to somebody else, is to say that we are denying the working of God in our life. Because God's blessing in our life is not just simply about me getting something. It's about me receiving, allowing it to work in my life, and then giving it to someone else or sharing a part of that with someone else. So the truth that we receive, the blessings of God that he brings in our, and brings into our life, are not just for us to build bigger barns. It's for us to recognize God's blessing and how that God's blessing is to be channeled through us to touch other people's lives. So if you think about how that there are people, you know, there are people standing in line waiting for God to bless them. The only trouble is he's decided to work through you to get to them, to bless their lives. Just like the missionaries who are in place to receive the refugees to bless their lives, God had to call them, prepare them to go to that place, to be there so that he could move through them to touch their lives. So there are people waiting in line around us, around who we are, to touch their lives and make a difference. Mm-hmm. Right. I was, well, this morning, you know, sometimes, you know, I go to breakfast and there's just me and the world. You know, me and my little whatever, and somebody say hello and wave, you know, hey, good to see you again. Saw you last week, see you next week. Yep. You know, really big, great conversations. Hey. But today, it just so happened that I ran into a couple that we know, and the one of the couple has been sick and so on, and so I was able to go and pray with them a little bit and ask God to bless them, and you know, went someplace else, and there someone was that their loved one had died a while ago, and we talked a little bit about that and how that they are safe in heaven and God is with them, and you know, and there was another one. There was three. So it's been a busy morning already. But what is God doing? God is using the things that we have learned over a period of time to be able to now give to somebody else. So whatever we receive, there's value to it. Whoever we are, there's value to it. Whatever we're giving it because Christ is in us and he is the living Word touching our lives, and the Word is touching our thoughts and our influencing our opinions and influencing where we go and what we do, even if it is the same routine. So, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. He will speak of Jesus. He will let us know what Christ has come to do. He'll speak to us of God the Father and how that God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have moved upon individuals in the Old Testament, New Testament. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit, not dictation. The Scripture is not a dictation. The scripture is an inspiration in the lives of these prophets, and they speak and write the inspiration down. So the word of God is inspired. So the Holy Spirit that inspired the prophets to write, and the disciples and the apostles and in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit that inspired them to write is the same Holy Spirit that inspires us to read. And the Holy Spirit inspires us to read and then to make application of that truth. So whatsoever he shall hear, meaning the Holy Spirit, shall he speak, and he will show things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit is come to work in our lives to show us, as it were, things to come. Dreams that are in our hearts and lives, the Holy Spirit just kind of pops right out there, you know? And so we then are, well, is this God or is this me? Is this, well, God has given us a desire, so we go in that direction, and the Holy Spirit will show us things, and we'll glorify God because he's the one that's going to help us bring this about. You're going to go into the promised land and conquer it. Yeah, right. But you see, God always gave the children of Israel tasks that were greater than themselves, so that they would not depend upon themselves, they would depend upon God to accomplish the task. So that's why we have things bigger than us. Amen. All right. This is the second part, Romans chapter 8. But ye are not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What we have here is that we're in the flesh, but not in the flesh. I mean, we're here, but we're not, you know, I'm here, but I'm not here. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's not the same, but it's not different. It's different, but it's the same. It's like, whoa, what, you know? Well, here we are in this life, in this flesh and blood, but you see, inside of us is our spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. God is inside of us. Now, if we do not ask Christ to be in our life, now, I like this one phrase, I found it at, in our Bible study on Wednesday night. It says, Jesus Christ is strong enough to forgive the weakest faith. So the weakest faith that asks for forgiveness, Christ is strong enough to forgive. So we never need to doubt that we are forgiven. That's it. You know, and so we are the one who put quantitative dimensions on faith. We put quantitative, God just calls it faith. If we have faith to ask, we have faith to receive. Sure. Jesus Christ is strong enough to save the weakest faith. So the person who in their weakest moment ask Christ for forgiveness, they have salvation. Mm-hmm. And so if we were strong enough to do everything, we wouldn't need God. But in our weakness, we are able to see the strength of God to be ours. And so we operate in the power and strength of God. So what's going to happen in our lives is not necessarily what we can create. It's what God is going to create in us and through us, and how he is going to bless us so that we can be blessings. You know, so the blessings that God has given us are blessings that we are to share, not bottle up and build bigger barns. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then Christ is not in you. And what is the Spirit of Christ? The Holy Spirit. If we have denied God, then we deny Christ. If we deny Christ, we don't have the Spirit in us, but it's still the Holy Spirit has come to reprove, to convict the world of sin. So the Holy Spirit is convicting the mind and the heart to become righteous and forgive, but they have hardened their heart and they've seared their conscience and they're intent on breaking, you know, every law that there is because of their selfish whatever misconceptions. So this section talks about how that if by the trespasses of one man death reigned through that one man, so in Adam all die, how much more will righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Righteousness reigns, rightness with God reigns in us because of Jesus Christ. I was thinking of this on Wednesday. Sometimes we think, what do you say? If I would say to you, how righteous are you? It's like, well, I'm humbly speaking, not too much. Well, that's not humble. The truth is, Abraham believed God, and God gave to Abraham righteousness, which is a rightness with God. So every time we pray, whenever we have faith, God is creating that righteousness inside of us. So I am, a number of years ago, the hippies, righteous man, righteous, something like that. But in our lives, whenever we believe in God, that righteousness is being created in us. Whenever we are offended by evil, why are we offended at evil of things? Because inside of us, there's a righteousness that pulls back from evil deeds and is hurt with those who hurt and weeps with those who weep and rejoices with those who rejoice. That's the Spirit inside of us. That's the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit abiding within us. What else? There's one more here. Paul's statement about, maybe paraphrased, if you are believers, the risen Christ dwells within you. It is true that on one hand that your body is still subject to that temporal death, which is the consequences of sin. We die physically because of sin. In the beginning when Adam and Eve, whenever they broke God's command, they died spiritually and they died physically. Okay? Jesus Christ, when he came, he died on the cross, he died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. So our sins are forgiven and our bodily resurrections are reinstated. What we lost in the beginning, we regained in Christ. But on the other hand, the Spirit who has taken up his abode within the living, and the life-giving Spirit of Christ imparts to you that eternal life, which is the consequences of justification. We are justified before God, just as if I'd never sinned. We are justified before God because of his forgiveness and that weakness of our faith to ask for forgiveness, that we are justified before God just as if we'd never sinned. And that justification, that eternal Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, will quicken our mortal bodies so that we too will rise. So, we are quickened in our mind and our heart. We are quickened in our actions and our thoughts and our understandings. It's all there. This next section is flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body. This scripture here, and we don't have a lot to do with it, but what happens here is Corinth. Corinth is filled with many temples. And the temples are dedicated to prostitution and sexual immorality and all these types of things, all this fornication, immorality. And God and Paul is telling the people at Corinth, get away from, don't go to those temples. Stay away from those things. And that sexual sins that have no sense of commitment, are destructive to the body, destructive to the oneness that we have in relationship. So the Living Bible has it, not the Living Message Bible says, there's more to sex than mere skin to skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As is written in the scriptures, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. Sexual sins, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies, these bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love. For becoming one with another, you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit, don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in you and through you. That's the Message translation. And then one last verse here in Acts chapter 1. This is where we see the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power. Okay, power is strength. Power is empowering. It is uplifting. It energizing. But you shall, it's dynamite, dynamo. It is, so you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the Holy Spirit has come upon us to empower us. Power, our actions, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth. Meaning that God has given us a power that is greater than ourselves to reach beyond our little influence, and that he is empowering us to do more than just live within our little cell. The he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, and so God empowers us to do more than what we can ever ask or imagine. And then 1 Corinthians. Paul here is talking about how that he did not come to Corinth with excellency of speech. He came in the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning that he didn't come to persuade them with his vocabulary and with his arguments, arguments about creation and God and all that other stuff. He didn't come with that influence. He came with the Holy Spirit's anointing to speak to their heart. And then finally, 2 Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Remembrance is bold. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what happened, you know, that time whenever we set you apart for this ministry. Put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. One of the greatest hindrances for our continued progression in our life is the fear of failure, the fear of things going wrong, fear that somebody might not like us and all that other stuff. And God is saying, I didn't give that to you. You can be at peace, but I want you to have power, I want you to have love, and I want you to have a sound mind, which means sensible thinking, self-discipline, self-control, well-balanced, effectively live up life. Effectively live your life. There you go. Effectively living our lives. So God is, in effect, working in us to do a great and mighty thing. All right, so any other thoughts on these texts and on the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He has different names, just as, you know, we said before. My name is David. I am a son. I am a father. I am a pastor. I am a husband. I'm a chaplain, I'm a counselor. So all those names are just aspects of who I am. Well, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, he is the Spirit, he is the breath, he is the wind, he is the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son, Spirit of Jesus Christ, eternal Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life, Spirit of promise, Spirit of glory, Comforter, which means when Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit, sent the disciples the Holy Spirit, he is the same as I am. So, if you know Jesus, you know him because of the Spirit. Amen? So, that's third person of the Trinity. And next Sunday morning for Sunday school, we'll be decorating for Christmas. So don't forget about that. Yes. So anything else? Next Sunday? Yeah, but it's still going to be. Yeah. 25th is Christmas, so again, yeah. I always do, you know, my stupid joke. Thanksgiving's on Thursday and Christmas is on 25th. So Father, thank you that you help us. You enlighten us in our lives, and Lord, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit continue to have free move in our thoughts and minds and lives, and help us, O Lord, that what we say and do can be your work. Through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.